Welcome to the Financial Flight Plan with Tim Estes and Bree Reyes. When it comes to your financial future, we believe the sky is the limit. We'll give you the proper tools to keep your engine portfolio running smoothly. Let us pilot the answers to some of your toughest financial issues. The Financial Flight Plan starts now.
Thanks for joining us for another edition of the Financial Flight Plan Podcast. Walter Storholt here alongside Tim Estes of Estes Financial Services, serving you throughout the Metroplex with an office in Fort Worth. Thanks for joining us each week here on the podcast where we cover different topics, hopefully of interest to you. I think this week's will be of special interest because we're talking about common money mistakes. And you might say, well, I don't think I make mistakes that are all too common, or I might be pretty flawless in my investing, and that's fine. You might find something that surprises you, though. So I'd suggest listening with a close ear. Now, we've got a list, Tim, of 10, 15 mistakes that we easily came up with off the top of our heads. We're not going to be able to get to all of those on the podcast today because people have jobs and, you know, lives, and so we're going to let them get to that, you know, here in a short moment. Well, we're going to try and highlight a couple of the big ones you need to be thinking about. One of the things that first came to our mind was Social Security, and one of the most common money mistakes of all of them is folks turn 62, and what do, Tim? They say, yes, I'll take that extra income. Why not go ahead and start Social Security now? But for many, we end up finding out that's way too early if they pull the trigger like that.
That's exactly right. I talk to people all the time about this, and they go, well, you know, it's going to go broke. I'm not going to be able to get any money. And the government's not going to renege on their promises of what you're going to get paid. I suspect somewhere down the road that for our children or whoever, there's going to be some changes to the benefits. But for someone that's coming up within the next 5 years or so to collecting Social Security, I really don't see the benefits going away. The big thing is you're forfeiting a lot of money. Between age 62 and 66, we're only talking 4 years, there's about a 25% difference in the amount of money that you would collect. So if you waited to full retirement age, which for most people is 66 or a little bit older, you're giving up 25% of your benefits by not waiting to the full retirement age. Hmm. And then if you have any longevity in your family, by the time you get to age 70, I think it's about 72.4, so right around 72 and 6 months or so, you've made up the difference. You're going to be to the positive as far as the amount of money that you'll collect over your lifetime by waiting to age 66 or for your full retirement age. And then what a lot of people do, and this is something that I've been looking at for myself, my dad lived to age 93. If I can wait to age 70,
wow,
it's another 33% increase between full retirement age and age 70. Well, that's huge. 33% pay increase. I could wait to 70 and then start collecting. By the time I'm 84, I'm going to be collecting a heck of a lot more money than if I'd started at full retirement age. So just because you get to 62 doesn't mean you should jump in and take your Social Security right then and there. Now, everybody is different. Everybody has different longevity issues. But if you have questions, call the office. We can sit and discuss it. We've got software to show you where your personal break-even point is. And if you have health issues or whatever, that all plays in. But we can certainly help discuss and help you make prudent, smart decisions on when and when not to take Social Security. You know, anytime you're dealing with the government, if you do something, it's just like saying a bad word in front of your mom. Once it's out, it's out. So be careful and don't make that mistake.
Yeah, except the consequences might be a lot worse than just getting your mouth washed out with a bar of soap, right?
Absolutely. You could be forfeiting, you know, depending on how long you live, you could be forfeiting hundreds of thousands of dollars by taking your Social Security benefits too early.
Yeah, I'd say that hurts a lot more. So if you are in your mind thinking, oh, I was planning on taking Social Security at 62, well, maybe that isn't the best option for me. If you have any question marks surrounding that, we do always encourage you to talk to Tim Estes and the team at Estes Financial Services. 817-444-8402 is the number to call to reach out. 817-444-8402. We're talking about common money mistakes, and yes, starting Social Security early is definitely a biggie. Another one that we often see, however, is when folks are way too aggressive in their portfolio, or the other end of the spectrum, way too conservative. Help define for us, though, Tim, what that would look like. How do we know if we're too aggressive, too conservative, and why is that a mistake to be that way?
Well, I see a lot of people that they're coming up for retirement and they got a late start in life. They didn't really start investing until they got much older. And now they're going, oh, gee, I've got to make up for all the lost time. And so they've got a very, very aggressive portfolio. And if we have another pullback or another downturn, they're going to be in trouble when it comes to their retirement resources. So you can still be trying to get returns without being overly aggressive. And then on the reverse side, I've seen people come in that were 30, 35 years of age, certainly clients of Bree's that have come in, and they've got all their money in a money market or in a very, very safe investment. And I'm going, when do you plan on retiring? Oh, probably won't retire until I'm in my 60s. Okay, then what do you care? We're looking at 30 years from now before you're going to retire. Do you care what the market did 30 years ago? Well, no, because I wasn't even alive then. Okay, so you have time for any downturn comes along, your money will recover. So be more aggressive in the younger years and then get a little bit more conservative in your older years. And that should hold you in pretty good stead. If you want specifics, that's something that we can help you work through. The biggest problem that I've seen, though, is when people come up to retirement is they think, okay, that's it, I'm retired, and they want to go super, super conservative. I don't want to lose any money. And that's a very good idea, is to not lose money, but you also have to remember, just because you retired doesn't mean you stopped. You're still living. You're still going to need that money. That money's going to be the term I like to use, your 800-pound gorilla to help you live for the next 15, 20, 25, even 30 years in retirement. You know, so you can be too conservative going into retirement. And that's where we can help find the perfect balance between being too aggressive and too conservative.
Yeah, I think that's a really good discussion and one that probably, you know, dominates for probably several minutes when people come in to meet with you, because a lot of people think they're maybe conservative and it turns out they're aggressive or vice versa. And so not only are we uncovering the actual truth of how people are positioned, but then mentally having to wrap our minds around the fact that what we perceived is no longer the case. And sometimes that's just as hard as uncovering the actual truth in a situation. As we talk about common money mistakes, Tim, we'd be remiss if we didn't address this one. And it can be a little bit of a tough one to discuss with some people, but when you really think about it, yeah, this is where a lot of people take a wrong turn. We love getting advice from friends and family in lots of aspects of our lives. Why wouldn't you turn to those closest, those that you trust? But when you take advice from friends and family on how to invest, well, we're not saying it's wrong 100% of the time, but it ends up being a common money mistake for a lot of folks.
Yeah, it's what I call the water cooler advice. You know, you're standing around the water cooler or you're having a cup of coffee with a coworker and, oh, I got this hot tip. Well, if you're using hot tips to manage your portfolio, it's already broken. You've already broken your portfolio. So, you know, I've spent a big part of my adult life studying, getting educated, learning different things, becoming a certified financial planner, trying to see where the ins and outs are and just getting to know this industry. And for someone that is just kind of coming along and saying, hey, you know, I think you ought to do this or do that, 9 times out of 10, the advice is about 75 to 80% correct. But that other 25% or so that's incorrect can really cause problems. And so you have to really be careful if you're taking advice from friends or family. You know, yeah, it's okay to take the advice and listen to it, but to act on it, be very, very cautious, because it can jump up and bite you. And once again, you know, it can create problems for you that you can't unwind. So unless they are in the industry or have the credentials and the education and the expertise, I would really strongly recommend not taking financial advice from your friends or your family.
Well, we've all heard the term or the phrase, patience is a virtue, and that's very true in the financial world as well, Tim. If you're impatient with your investments, well, you're probably committing another common money mistake. The impatience leads to the mistakes, right?
Absolutely. I've seen this too. In fact, Dalbar, who does investor research, they're a big center that does investor research. They've determined that the average investor holds a mutual fund or whatever for less than 3 years. When you're investing, you need to be investing for a lifetime. You know, build a portfolio, make sure that it's what you need, diversify, and then rebalance it. You know, it's your time in the market, not timing of the market. And too many people want to get in, get out, get in, get out. The problem is you never know where the top is and you never know where the bottom is. And so you can miss, you know, the next big run up if you're sitting on the sidelines. And so you just have to be really careful about being impatient. And it goes to our society. Our society today is instant gratification. Everybody wants to make sure that they get it now, now, now. Do it, do it, do it. And with investing, it's kind of like that Aesop's fable, the tortoise and the hare. We want to be the tortoise. We want to have our investments working for us, like I said, for a lifetime.
Yep. These are all important common money mistakes to keep in your mind. And like we said, we could probably list out a good 10 or 15 of these if we had the time, but we want to keep the podcast a reasonable listening length for you today. So let's just throw out one more here, Tim, and that would be when it comes to discipline. We often see common money mistakes get made, and that's if you have an undisciplined investing approach and if your goals are undefined. What do we mean by that?
Well, I've seen people come into my office and it's almost like they ordered off of the Chinese menu. They got one from column A, one from column B, and two from column C. And they think they're being diversified and they're not. They're basically getting the same type of investment or the same asset class of investment. And it's a very undisciplined approach, you know, or they may say, oh, gee, I heard this stock is going up, and so they dump a ton of money into it. Now, that may be all well and good if you have some money that you can gamble with, but for the most part, why would you want to gamble with something that you've worked so hard to acquire? Your retirement dollars need to be prudently invested and not take an undisciplined approach to it. The other thing is people don't really have a goal. They go, well, I think I want to have X number of dollars when I retire so I can do A, B, C, D, or whatever. You know, one of the things that I start with when I talk with clients when they come in, and it goes back to my Navy days, you start with the end in mind. What is it you absolutely positively want? Define that. Make sure you know crystal clear exactly what you want. And then we can work backwards to get you from point A to point B. But if you don't know where you're going, then any direction will do.
I think that makes a lot of sense. And if some of this guidance makes sense to your ears and you're thinking, yeah, I might make some of these common money mistakes, this might be something that I would be vulnerable to, reach out to Tim Estes, Bree Reyes, and the team at Estes Financial Services, and they can help keep you on the right path, make sure that you're not committing some of these common money mistakes, learning from others who have taken wrong steps before you, and apply these principles to your own financial plan. The number to call is 817-444-8402. Again, that's 817-444-8402. 8402. Very helpful to see how some of these common money mistakes have impacted others and the benefits of not making these mistakes on your overall health of your financial plan. Find us online all the time at estesfinancial.net. That's estesfinancial.net. We're also on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn. You can subscribe to the podcast and get alerts on your smartphone or whatever other method you use to listen to the podcast each week on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. Thanks so much for tuning into the Financial Flight Plan podcast this week. Coming up next time, we're going to be talking about financial blind spots, those things that you need to make sure you're looking over your shoulder and seeing and spotting that can be a little bit harder to spot, and to make sure you're including these as a part of your planning process. That's what we'll delve into next time, right back here on the Financial Flight Plan podcast. Thanks for listening.
Securities offered through Triad Advisors, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services are offered through Estes Financial Services, Inc., which is not affiliated with Triad Advisors.